grab your remote, your laptop, and those little trays that you can put on the bed, because we're talking about Breakfast in Bed, the episode of Grimm, and we're doing it with special guest Damian Puckler. All this and more tonight on AfterBuzz TV's Grimm After Show.
You're tuning into the destination for TV superfan discussion, AfterBuzz TV. And now, let the buzz begin.
Hey there, Grimsters! Welcome back. I just wanted to peek out the mic a little bit to start us out. Thank you so much for joining us once again on AfterBuzz TV. I'm your host, Zach Wilson. You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at ThatZachWilson. We've got the entire panel and a special guest for tonight's show. So enough with me.
Hi, I'm Tari J. Miller. You can find me at Tari J, TARIJAY.
Yael Teagle.
I'm Yael Teagle. I'm everywhere at Yael Teagle. That's YAELTYGIEL. And I'm in the chat with you all. So say hello.
And I'm going to let you introduce our special guest.
We have a special guest, everybody. It is Damian Puckler, who plays Meisner. I don't know if you've heard of this character. I don't know if you've heard me talk
about
this character.
We definitely don't talk about him enough on this show.
Damian Meisner Watch, 2017. Yay. He's right there.
Yeah. Welcome. Thank you for being here.
Thank you for having me back.
Is he there, though?
Am I really here?
I don't know if I can trust
him. Oh, he's here.
I don't know. I don't trust my eyes or any other.
I trust my hands.
I don't trust your hands.
All right. Moving on. Let's start with the quote this week. Sleep is good. Death is better. But, of course, the best thing would to have never been born at all.
That sounds like a Bond villain.
I want to hear Damian do it.
You want to give it a shot?
Sure. Where is it?
I don't have it yet.
Yeah, come over there.
I will
put it in the chat.
Yeah, make it giant.
Or do that.
Where is it?
Where is it?
Here. Right there.
Yeah. You didn't see you. I got it.
Live on the air.
Sleep is good. Death is better. But of course, the best thing would have never been born at all.
Yeah. Now I need that back because it's in all my notes.
I was right to suggest that.
You're right, yeah.
Yeah,
I'm okay.
You got the
baby? She's going to disappear.
And that's a quote from German poet Heinrich Heine.
Oh, okay.
Heinrich Heine, yeah.
Yeah. I'll get there eventually.
Sure you will.
But yeah, this episode focused on sleep because we basically got like the boogeyman or the sandman, but the super
sandman.
Evil version. Well, it's a thing that comes and gets you at night.
I don't think that's what the Sandman
actually,
does.
Actually, this is the reverse of what the Sandman does. I take it back.
Yeah,
I take it back.
Sand in your eyes.
He makes you sleepy,
right?
Yeah, but this is the boogeyman, though. Mm-hmm. Come to attack you from, like, under the bed. There's a monster behind the bookcase. In this case, there was.
Yes.
It's the Alpa.
Alp.
Alp. The Alp. Oh, I had written it. That's a typo. The Alp.
Like the mountains.
Yes.
Yeah.
With an E.
It's the easiest one, and I still messed it up.
I know. That was great.
What did you guys think of this week's episode with featuring the Alp Vessen of the Week?
I'll take it from here. I felt like it really harkened, like it was them going back to basics. It felt really reminiscent of an episode or like a season one episode where you have your definitive red herring. You have your
we'll talk about that.
And you know, you have like your select characters doing what they do, like, you know, it's Grimm and not Grimm, but it's Nick and Hank seeking out a specific Vessen, kind of running down the leads and things like that. You get old timey sassy woo. So like a lot of the elements of like the old episodes were really in there.
Which is why I feel like Natalyn was so irrelevant. The like love story, Claire didn't need to be there, and so she wasn't. Because, like, she wasn't part of the plot this week.
I feel like nobody really noticed. I'm kidding. That's a joke. That's a joke. Don't come after me.
They're going to kill
me. Get them, guys.
People were... their plot line is not going to move, if their plot line is not going to move forward, we don't need to spend extra time on it.
Right.
Well, but like, I'd rather just save that and then not have filler.
Right.
Is what I mean.
Damien's a big Madeline fan.
Yeah.
Okay.
What?
All about
That's him. Shocking.
Yeah.
Because Adele Eisner fans are still very much like, we're here too.
Yeah. That never was concluded. The whole Adeline Meisner thing.
Well, I have my theory on the whole thing, if you want to know my theory.
I would love to hear your
yes,
theory.
Please.
Because, you know, they always ask whether Meisner was in love with Adeline, right? I think Meisner saw something in Adeline that he saw in the love that he had lost. So, to him, I'm not so sure whether he was in love with Adeline, but he saw some qualities in Adeline that his this girlfriend had, and that's why he was so drawn to her. That's why she meant so much to him. I think he was still in love with that girl that he lost, that we unfortunately never explored, but you know what I mean. That's kind of the choice I made as an actor for Meisner. That was his big thing that was kind of weighing down his heart. So, and Adeline kind of resembled her in some ways, so that made it a big thing. And Meisner being Meisner, he'd probably even help Madeline come together because he would want her to be happy.
Aww.
Oh, God, he's a big Meisner.
That's so beautiful.
He was too good to live.
Yeah. Okay.
But the best of the week story, like, the creature was interesting. I like the idea it was different.
Yeah.
Like, in terms of creature design and, like, that it fed on melatonin,
yeah,
and so had to like swallow your face.
But it also, I really liked the twist at the end because we spent the whole time watching it, being like, is it Corey's dad or is it the old guy or is it the young guy? Never did we think it was the woman. And for us, I don't know, that's Corey's dad from
Boy Meets World. Yes,
they lean into sort of the SVU like plot points, like where, you know, like they just introduced the guy who did it.
Right.
Like when the maintenance guy, Eddie,
yeah,
when he came out, I was like, oh, it's Eddie, because they introduced him in the exact way that you introduced the character who did it.
Yeah.
The same thing, like showing the old man there, but not really explaining why he's there.
Someone needs to be taking care of that old man. Like, he's always in the hallway. Like, in my mind, he's just stuck in that hallway, and no one has bothered to put him in his room.
He's gonna have a spinoff.
Yeah, right?
The old man in the hallway.
The old man who was a literal red herring.
Yes.
Yes. On second viewing, I noticed that his name was Charles Herring Link.
No, it wasn't.
It was.
Where did it say that?
It said it when they showed his like profile. They were like, "Oh yeah, well, that old man Charles Link, middle name Herring." And I was like, "You sons of bees!"
I don't even know.
I like the Tauri's paying attention,
and you could hear the writers cackling through him cackling at the end. They're like,
Zach, what kind of Vessin was he?
It was unnamed officially.
So
because I had it easy this week with Alp, I figured I would go a little. I would come up with one for whatever this red herring was. So I went to Google Translate and I typed in red herring into German.
Okay, what'd you get?
Well, it didn't just... Google is scary powerful because it didn't just like give me like Rotharing, which is my terrible way of pronouncing like what would be...
Oh, that's what you got?
That wasn't what I got. Oh. It was just like red herring. Yeah. As in like, it didn't
again?
Do that. No, that's not the best.
It's even worse.
I know.
Oh, it's terrible. I have no clue what I'm doing. But I guess it found the like the definition translation for the term red herring. Oh boy,
which was
Ablenkungsmanöver.
Okay, now see, this is the thing. Red herring, it could be a red, as in like a roter herring, as in a fish, the red fish.
Yeah, and that's what it didn't translate for.
But this is actually a military maneuver that it translated. It's called a military maneuver to actually distract the opposite side.
Yeah.
So Ablenkungsmanöver. It's actually kind of cool.
That's why when I was like, that seems very complicated for red fish. So I changed it back and it was like, oh, I get it, because it's
But is that what you called it then? Is that the name?
That I just took that word.
Ablenkungsmanöver. Cool.
When you hear it, yes.
Ablenkungsmanöver.
Sounds exactly like a hair.
Yeah, totally. Well, at least the maneuver part. Because
Anyway.
Let's swiftly move on.
Yes.
People are having trouble watching this live.
So unofficially named the Ablenkungsmanöver.
People are having trouble watching it live, and it seems that they think Damien has officially melted the servers.
Oh, well, yeah.
I mean, that's pretty hot.
I know. That's why I felt like it needed to be read out loud.
For anyone who's having trouble, try refreshing or closing your browser.
Refreshed and use different browsers.
Okay.
Sorry, guys.
Let me just step outside and maybe...
No. No.
No.
But you can keep putting messages in the chat. We'll keep up with you as much as we can. And then it'll be available after the show for your viewing pleasure.
Yes. But just since you were talking about German real quick, because Yale was... learning some German the other day. She was kind of telling me on Instagram. So you learned some stuff on German.
I did, I learned how to say, was ist das?
That's not what you learned. But anyway, okay, good.
That's what I learned.
What did you learn, Yell?
Nothing appropriate for the show.
There are kids watching. I hope not.
Yeah.
That's why I didn't say it.
So as we got to it, the twist was really cool. Because you're right. They did successfully trick me. Mm-hmm. Like, I didn't see that coming. But it worked. It wasn't unbelievable that they had all these passageways. It was like a maze through there. But it makes sense. She's owned this building for forever. Theoretically, like, her whole family has just like built this hotel like to use like this.
Yeah.
She just got greedy with this one dude. That's what happened.
Yeah.
There were some things at the end that like I had some issues with. Just Nick's behavior threw me off.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know if it's something that we're going to address as we go forward, that maybe he's just going a little over the edge.
Probably not.
But the Hundjäger that he encountered, Corey's dad. Granted, like, he attacked him, but that was all he had done was, like, fight back when getting chased by the Grimm.
Mm-hmm.
So, and then Nick killed him. Snapped his neck.
Yes.
Seems an extreme response.
Sort of. I was thinking about it. Because, like, yes, on first viewing, I was like, wow, that seems like a real, real intense thing. But he was also, like, he was kicking their butts, first of all. And second of all, like, they were definitely, like, he knew about the tunnel, so he had to have been in league with the Alpe. So, he was an accessory.
Well, but the other part of it is that accessory to what? Because they hadn't technically killed anyone.
To driving people crazy.
Yeah. Like, it's almost the equivalent of, like, dosing someone with, like, LSD. You know?
All right.
So, like, nice. It's, yeah.
To that same point, there was a beat when he finally does encounter the Alp woman, where he's almost just like, you're an Alp, so you're gonna be stopped. We're gonna blame you for the crimes of somebody else that's the same species as you. I'm like, whoa, Nick. Because, like, Monroe is like, this is for Aunt Ada. I'm like, this isn't the Alp that did that. Like, you can't blame her for that. She's still, because, like,
you can't.
Oh, totally.
You can.
Like, we walk that line with, like, these are, like, monsters, but they're monsters, but they're also people, so we can't just treat them like monsters when we want to.
Right.
Just because they're a scary type of Vessin. Vessin rights.
Yes and no.
Vessin rights.
I mean, she. Yes and no. Like, you can't blame her for the aunt, but, like, she was definitely. Guilty. I mean, she, like, it's been in shows a lot recently, but, like, the old murder hotel.
Apparently this episode was inspired by that as well.
Right. Like, and it's basically the same thing, except instead of murdering them, you're driving them to essentially kill themselves or something else. You know, so, like, she was definitely a party to something worse than probably what the Alpa that attacked Monroe's aunt was. You know, I'm sure that, because it sounds like it's a survival instinct to take sleep, but to make a whole system around it for, like, stealing vagrant's sleep seems pretty sinister.
Yeah. It's also just, like, it's the unfortunate, like, they have to do it to survive, right, kind of thing, which is the struggle of most of these Vessen. Is like the only way they can live is to torture people. So what do you do when you're like, we had the guy a few weeks ago who I found like who could see in like into the future, and it's like he is burdened with this because of his like Vessen abilities. Like, mm-hmm. what do you do with that? Like, it's more of a, like a power that is more of a curse.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
type of story.
Do you guys think that if the Vessen Council was still around, this would be something that they would manage? Like the because there are a lot of Vessen that have very, I guess, self-detrimental abilities. And so, like, would that be a responsibility of the council to be like, all right, cool, well, you know, you require people to sleep, so we'll provide you a rotating group of people to feed off of so that you don't hurt the general populace and keep Vessen underground or something
that's,
to that effect?
That's sort of, like, the other reason that I am sort of more on her side at the end is I think that's what the hotel is sort of set up for. It's like, they're not going to, like, prey on, like, one person, like, that's nearby. It's a hotel, so inevitably they're transient people. It just happened to be that the hotel went down, it, like, fell out of, like, popularity and business to where it was being used as more of regular housing, so there weren't as many new people coming in.
Right.
But I think that's the idea. It was the intention of, like, they only have to do it one time to these people, so they won't drive them insane. They just, they can feed, and then the person moves on, goes home, and they never come back.
Yeah. That makes sense.
Interesting theories, both of you.
So it's a housing problem, really.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah.
Really.
Yeah. But the one guy who tried to help, who did not end well for him.
Sorry. You look frustrated.
I'm mostly... I have my reasons. But, like, my main issue is, this is probably, like... He was probably, like, the most humanitarian character we've ever met on this show. Like, when he came up to Danny... he was also already talking to a homeless guy, probably trying to help him out, and he, like, works for a shelter, and then he gets murdered for no reason, which made me really sad.
Yep.
yep. So sad.
Yeah.
It was sad.
Did anyone else think for a moment that he was, like, Billy Bob Thornton's kid?
No.
What?
No.
He looks like Billy Bob Thornton.
We're moving on. No.
Like, am I the only one? Like chat, back
like
me up.
Blade kid.
Are you talking about Danny?
Yeah, or he thinks Danny looked like Billy Bob Thornton's kid.
Sure.
He looks like Billy Bob Thornton. That's all I could think while he was up there.
Yeah.
All right.
Sounds great.
Somebody chat.
The chat is not watching live.
Oh. All right. Well, let's move on, because we still have to talk about Meisner and Renard, and we have to talk about the constellation... symbols.
Yeah.
So let's start there. That way we can close out with Meisner and talk to Damien more about ghost stuff. So we finally know what the symbols are.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I could have sworn it was called.
Yeah. I don't want to toot my own horn or anything.
But you're going to.
I think I may have said that the first time we had seen the symbol.
Yeah.
That it was a star map, guys. you know, I'm just saying. might be a little amazing.
They probably got the idea from you.
Probably.
That's true.
Yeah, they didn't shoot the entire season.
Yeah, totally. I think your chair's rising slowly.
Oh, yeah.
Really? I think they see a red dot just like floating. So they found the symbol for the constellation Pleiades, and then they basically it's a Vessen version of the Mayan calendar.
Mm-hmm.
Conspiracy from 5 years ago. All right. Now we're waiting for March 24th.
Yeah, which is episode 12,
mm-hmm.
not 13.
No. Yeah.
So
it's the second to last episode, not the finale.
Somebody wrote each of the episode numbers down in her calendar and was like, "That's episode 12. I got this."
That's cool though, because that means that whatever this is like the thing that has been we've been building up to. Mm-hmm. So like my immediate
just got a prediction.
My immediate reaction to that. Is like, so has all the was all this fated? Was Nick finding the stick and everything like true, like predestined to be based on like he had to find it, he had to free these things,
or coincidence?
Never,
but my I got it.
Please.
Oh, I got it.
Okay.
She's got it.
On March 24th, right? March 24th?
Yes.
Meisner will return.
Yeah?
It's an ancient prophecy.
Yep.
Buried underground by the seven Templar Grimms.
Yes.
To foretell the return of Meisner.
Yep. And you're welcome.
Oh, sweet.
Like, I don't know why, but he's going to return at that point.
Yeah, yeah.
Right?
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
Tara, what are you thinking? Like, other than the fact that, other than you're called it, what are your thoughts on this?
As someone who is an expert, I think it's really interesting. I think that, like, they spent a lot of time being like, how did all these different civilizations come together? But it's like, you could imagine that all the Grimms came together from the different places and, like, made this map. But, like, my question about it, and it's not like a theory, not like a prediction, but, like, I you have to wonder if the map itself was created by the Grimms, or if the cloth is just a medium to see it. And it's more of a map that was created by the, like, the underworld. So, like, that to me is, like, the big defining thing is, like, you asking if it was fate or not, kind of leads me to believe that it wasn't fate, it was just, they happened to find it, but something in the course of the show that we've been watching set off it set off a series of events that will lead to whatever this is counting down to.
Okay.
I like it.
Either way, it's going to count down to our second to last episode, which, like, that means, like, it's whatever the event is going to happen, and then we're still going to have one more episode to wrap things up with.
Yeah.
Lydia in the chat says, hashtag it's magic, bitch. Yeah, I think she is correct.
Fair enough.
Magic, bitch.
Yeah.
Noted. Let's move on to the other part of the episode, which was Meisner. But at this point, like, seemingly proof that Meisner is real in one way or another, in that, like, he was able to pass along information that Renard did not already have.
He also was able to kind of interact with the guys, right? Because he blurred their vision.
Mm-hmm.
And previously, he was touched by Renard.
Yes.
But that could be, like, it could have been just, like, the brain tricking you into thinking that you're touching something that's not there.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Because you know that you can touch a ghost?
I'm asking you. I'm saying the brain might be able to trick you into thinking that you're touching it, even when your hand is just, like, feeling.
But how do you know you can't touch a ghost in real life?
Interesting.
Yeah.
It's a good point. I'm just
true. It's like this specific spell.
Who's to say that Grim Universe ghosts can't corporealize?
It's true.
Wow. I gotta look up that word.
Well, so the question the chat's asking is, was Meisner a ghost, a spirit? My theory, he's an angel.
Aww.
Somehow I'm not surprised.
What was he?
Like, you're asking me?
Yeah.
You can't ask
I don't
him.
Know.
I think it's we not can, like though. We can.
Yeah, it's not like we know. What can you tell us?
This is the deal. The thing is that Meisner was killed at the end of episode season 5.
I remember.
He was killed. And he kind of was stuck in somewhat purgatory. He stuck in the in between heaven and earth. Because that's me interpreting it, like, being, like, making my choice as an actor.
That's these pages, yeah, what exactly. You were thinking.
He came back as somewhat, I saw him as an angel, too.
Yes!
As an angel, ghost, whatever you want to call
angel.
It. More an angel than anything else.
Angel ghost.
Because he knew that he had to actually, he was always on the good side, and he actually, Sean Renard is his friend, or was his friend. And he did kind of shoot him in the end out of mercy. But on the other hand, he did kill him. And like he says, you know, you actually did kill me. That's kind of how you started this whole thing.
Yeah.
But so he made it his... it was his choice to come back to make sure that Sean Renard was actually going to end up on the right side. And to do that, he had to kind of torture him a little bit. He had to like kind of really kind of tweak him and really kind of... And once he achieved that, I do believe that he has gone and moved on into whatever you want to call it, heaven, hell, or whatever, wherever he's going. I think he would be going to heaven, but you know what I mean. So
interesting, because he does point out that he brought life into this world, which was new to him because he's used to taking it out.
Mm-hmm. True, exactly. Well, he was a mercenary. That's kind of how he started. I mean, he was, right. I do think that he started as a pretty tough bad guy.
I agree.
And then he kind of started getting a bit of a conscience. And that probably had to do with that love that he had at one point or another, but we never explored that. Aww. But anyway.
Look, this is an angle that I think that the Grimm comic books can go into. We need canon comic books, Grimm, NBC. The comics right now are completely non-canon.
Right. Okay.
Very weird.
Well, right. The chat is loving your interpretation.
Yeah. There you go. I just think, you know, Meisner would definitely end up being like an archangel, like an angel coming back and making sure things are all right. Because that's all he's ever done. He always tried to make sure things are all right. So whether he's dead or not, doesn't matter. Meisner's going to come back and make sure things are okay. That's what I feel. So there you go.
I nice. Like it.
I like that. I like that, though, that like the whole point was to get Sean, who's a character we've seen wane between good and bad so often throughout this show, usually not for like... bad reasons or anything. He's been dealt like shit cards at certain points.
And he's really selfish.
I was going to say, that's a great excuse. Whatever, anyway. But yeah, no.
I refer more to his family than anything else, but like some of it's just don't be a dick, Sean.
So hard being royal.
I know.
Life is so hard being wealthy.
Please, Captain.
Having everything handed to me, including the mayorship. So hard.
Well, that wasn't because he was royal.
Yeah, but his life wasn't that hard. The cards he was dealt.
He was cast out by his father and like...
the king.
Like, yeah, he was, and told like, you have to live across the world.
In Portland, which is great.
Yeah.
Well, we never established how they wound up in Portland.
Yeah.
I'm just saying, like, his upbringing doesn't sound too great.
Yeah.
At this point, he's made a life for himself. But I always got the sense that he, like... scraped and clawed and fought to get where he was, like as police captain. I don't think he got that handed to him.
Right. And life is really hard when you're tall and handsome. Like, I don't know if you guys know this, but like, it's really hard. People just
well, you get all the brain damage from hitting your head on.
Did you Google that or?
Oh,
wow.
Oh. I'll see you guys later. And yes, I did.
Yeah.
So I don't know. At this point, I guess I'm thinking he's. I think it is Meisner because we were talking about like whether it was or wasn't. Was it projection to guilt him by a demon or something? Like we had all kinds of theories.
Had all kinds of theories.
No, it's Meisner. For sure.
He's an angel.
I totally. To me, it's Meisner for sure. It's not his. His imagination, and it's not just a demon or anything else. It's actually Meisner coming back, and because that's the whole point in the very end. Because he actually helps him in the end, right? He actually helps him to not get killed by those guys.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
and everything he does, he always has a point to it. Like you know, it's a terrible thing to lose your mind, and you're trying to get away. You can't get away this way. You have to deal with it. He pretty much puts him, you know, right in front of it and says you have to deal with it. And then when he actually deals with it and he actually chooses the right side, so to speak, you know, Meisner's like, hey, cool, all right, good, gonna move on. All right, here comes my spinoff. Just kidding.
He at least chooses to not side with Black Claw. Even if he's not going to fight for the good guys, he's not going to fight for the bad guys anymore.
Yeah.
Which is good to see Black Claw, like, mentioned.
Yes.
But also, like, people coming back because it was this major international group, not just a Portland chapter.
Right.
But so there, I mean, and also the fact like they're not happy. And they're like very suspicious of all these details. Like, you were there when he was killed. The Grimm killed him. I don't know about all that.
I'm glad they figured it out, kind of. Because otherwise it was like, duh. Like, he was the leader of your group. You're not wondering what happened to him? He disappeared or was killed. Oh, wow.
Do you think that Black Claw is going to send more people after him? At this point,
They have to, right?
Yeah.
I mean, he's essentially a deserter. And you would imagine that they want to retake Portland at some point. Unless they're like, man, Portland, too weird, too hostile. let's leave that place alone. That'll be the last place we conquer.
Yeah. Oh! Theory.
Okay. Side note. I would totally watch a spinoff of just Renard and Meisner, like ghost buddies fighting crime. That'd be so good.
Archangel Meisner and Renard coming to haunt you.
Yeah.
I wouldn't mind that. Wouldn't mind that at all.
All right. Let's just do some... we'll go into it early, and then we'll have more time to talk to Damien about what he's up to, and we'll just spend a whole ton of time in... predictions.
Oh.
Wow, wow, I know, wow, I hit wow, it wow, really wow, early. Wow, the engineers are not prepared.
There it is.
Because I'm going to theorize for a while.
well, let me so say what? This Zach before theorize? Zach opens his mouth, because it's real fun for me to talk. So I predict that Meisner, who has now gone off to... be an angel, is reunited with Yell. I mean, his love. That's where he is. Yep.
Oh, yeah.
I like that. Very nice.
Me too.
What's her name?
Yell.
Oh.
My theory, like thinking about all these things playing together. So Black Claw's back. Sean is theoretically on our side. This calendar is pointing to a major event on March 24th. This is going back to something I had predicted, I don't remember, a few weeks ago or
Grim
something.
Grim Origins?
No. I still want that. I don't think we're going to get it.
I don't think you're going to get it either.
Maybe we'll get like some lines to help explain it in this whole sequence. But my thought is, so we know there's this major event coming on March 24th. What if the event is, because the planets line up this way, Vessin become revealed to
everyone.
The world, to Kersites and Vessin, like everybody can see people for who they truly are. That would effectively get Black Claw, like what Black Claws wanted all of this time, for Vessin to be outed, to which I still feel like just go on the news, first step.
Yes.
Just get a bunch of Hundjaegers, a couple Fuchsbau, maybe even get an Alp, because like people are gonna be like, "Whoa, what was that, Demogorgon?"
Well, definitely we would have to have an Uplinkungs maneuver in there. Though, right?
Yes. Just so people were like, "That seems like a fishy story."
Get out of here! Just leave.
What a great pun.
But like that could be to me that's a very interesting way to like end the series with a very open ending that I wouldn't mind, is like introducing this world to Vessin, and then people are gonna have to just live
right
with it. Like they're just gonna have to like Vessin no longer would have to live in the shadows like this. Like
yeah.
You wouldn't have people with murder hotels.
Mm.
You'd have people coming up with ways to get melatonin to help feed an Alp so that they cannot like be murdering people or driving them insane.
Right.
I'm going to predict the opposite.
Yeah.
That on this date, all Vessin become human.
Interesting.
What were you going to say?
I was going to say,
humans become Vessin.
Way to talk over time.
Sorry.
I have no predictions.
Damien, what do you think?
Yes.
I only have a prediction for next episode.
Oh, we're not even there yet.
Yeah, that's a whole other thing.
Yes, if we're talking about season-wide...
What's happening on the date?
On that date.
Yeah.
I mean, I think that will be the day that Diana is fully awakened, and they have to make a decision to either, you know... axe her or not. She's essentially going to be the epitome of a god on Earth. And it will be a day to remember.
Her hair is going to get even blonder and go straight up into spikes.
Her eyes are going to turn bluer.
And she'll bring back Meisner because she wanted to see him again.
She did want to see.
She did, yes. And I don't think that that is good. Like that seems like something that's not going to go away. That like desire, because it was so specific. And death seems like not an obstacle for Diana.
Yeah.
Like
nor for Meisner, who we established last season was human.
Yeah.
And so he's still a dead human.
Yeah. People were asking us on Twitter if we thought. He was going to be revealed to be something else. Like, the show established him to this point that he's human.
Right.
They've been pretty secure on that. He's just that badass of a human.
Because humans are badass.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, occasionally.
Yeah, exactly.
You put me into a circumstance where I'm fighting a Hoon Jaeger, I'm gonna lose.
Oh, Hoon Jaeger, they're so cute. I would just want to... They're like a big kitty.
No, they're canines.
Whatever, they're adorable.
But yeah. So let's talk about next week's episode. Because, whoa, that preview. If you don't watch the previews, like, this is where we're going to talk about the preview.
Yes.
It started out with a, like, how far they've come. Like, look at how, like, Longo. And there's, like, the shot of Nick from season one. It's like, look at how much of a baby he is compared to now. But then it's like, what's going to cause this? And then it's infighting.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
We see Rosalie looking like, oh my God, what's happening? We see... Juliet/Eve. We'll get to that.
Eve
fighting Adeland.
Yeah,
and we see Nick fighting Monroe in Blutbot form.
Yeah.
And then
what do we see?
Oh, that's right.
Blah, 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 blah.
I was focused
on that. Is that how you do it?
Yeah, that's how kissing works, right?
Yeah. I was thinking about all the fighting, and then there's so Julie Vett says to Nick, "It's always been you," or it was something like that.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
I didn't have the exact wording written down, but and then Julie Vett and Nick.
Well, no, she kisses him.
Yes.
He does not look pleased.
He's very confused.
Which is hilarious, because, you know, who they are in real life.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. They're actually together.
Yeah.
Yes.
There are predictions in the chat.
So I'm sure that chat and all of the Natalinders are going apeshit.
Yeah. So Kendall in the chat says they have no control over themselves. They will still prevail. Gamer Girl says it's either a spell or Nick is having a hypnotic-induced nightmare. Is that you, Zach?
Sorry.
Unacceptable.
That's the chat prediction.
My bad. So they think, I'm with them. I don't think it's real.
Yeah. I think it's a projection from the stick into Nick's mind of an alternate reality. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah. It's either a what could have been or what could be.
I think that their memories are going to be affected for this episode. And they're basically going to revert back to their pre-season one, like, memory, where Nick didn't know what Grimms were or what Vessen were. So seeing a Blutbot would freak him out. Adeland hated... everybody. Mm. And then Juliet's also just like, what is happening? But then she has powers, because if it's just memory, she would still be a Hexen beast. So I think they're gonna like not know who each other are and basically reset to season one.
Yeah.
For at least a week.
I think that the writers are like, we don't like Natalyn, so we're gonna retcon it out. And no, just kidding. Don't send me hate. Yeah. Send it all to Zach.
Damien, do you have any predictions?
Are you Natalyn or are you for Juliet? Well, you're for Natalyn.
Everyone loves the Natalyn.
Who's voting for whom here?
I am currently
Zach,
pro.
Who do you want?
I am pro Natalyn, but they are testing my Natalyn faith because I want her to go back to being a strong.
independent woman,
despite being in a relationship. Yep. No, but that's what I want. And yeah. if being in a relationship with Nick is going to prevent her from truly being herself, then I don't want it.
Wow, it feels like we're on Oprah right now, but okay.
Lori in the chat says that maybe Diana wants Nick away from Adeline because she wants her parents together and is influencing Juliet. I like that prediction.
Ooh.
I personally think Eve, first of all, is a strong, independent woman who doesn't need a man.
Especially
because she would be great with Trouble.
Yeah.
So I'm a fan of Eve and Trouble getting together.
On the eve
evil.
Of Trouble.
Stop.
Evil.
Stop picturing
evil. Trouble.
No, I was trying to come up with a ship
name. Sure you were.
Evil.
Yeah.
Stop Evil? Judging their relationship.
Evil. I'm judging in a very positive way. Trust me. Where was I?
I think we got to talk about Damien.
Yes.
Because, yes. Damien, you have a movie coming out.
Yes, well, there's a movie coming out in, like, early spring. It's called Scramble. You can look at it at scramblemovie.com. Not Scramble the movie, but scramblemovie.com. Mm. And it's an independent film. It's just crazy. It's awesome. It's really cool, actually. So it's kind of like Lock, Stock, and Two Smoking Barrels meets Natural Born Killers.
Wow.
It's a lot of craziness. It's actually a lot of fun. So, and I will be posting stuff when it actually comes. Like, I don't know exactly dates yet. We just had like press conference, press screenings and everything. So, yes.
That's awesome. Go.
Sweet.
Scramble. Not the eggs, but the film.
Do you get to kick butt in it?
Yes, I do.
Oh, yeah.
Nice.
How could he not?
I know. I just had to make sure everyone knew.
Yeah.
Well, we'll be there.
And I have my first ever sex scene with a playmate in it, which pretty much scared the out of me. that was nerve-wracking.
I gotta see this movie.
Yeah. you definitely just sold 3 tickets just for Yell.
Yeah, I was like, who am I going with? Yeah.
Just Yell's gonna be seeing it 3 times.
Yeah.
all right, well, I think that's gonna do it for the after show, unless anybody else has any other points from this week or predictions.
Nah.
All right,
red hair.
I have thoughts, but I'm keeping them to myself.
Well, that's gonna do it for the Grimm after show at AfterBuzz TV. Thank you guys so much for joining us. Thank you, Damien.
Thank you guys for joining us.
Awesome.
One more time, where can people find you on social media?
Just Damien Puckler, just the name, on Facebook and on Instagram. There's also a Twitter. It's run by a fan of mine, Alex, who's awesome. Banzai, by the way, Alex. And to all my fans, Banzai. So, Damien Puckler. Instagram, Facebook.
And a reminder, everyone, when can they see the Scramble?
That's coming out in spring. I don't know the dates yet, but
okay.
I'll keep posting.
Keep an eye on Twitter and Facebook and IMDb for more information. True.
And Alex will make sure you know on Twitter and on the unofficial Facebook page.
Yes,
because she is on top of it.
That's right. Yeah.
Yael Teagle, where can everyone find you?
Everyone can find me at Yael Teagle. That's YAELTYGIEL. And I have a podcast. It's called Intimate Interrogations. It is free on iTunes and Stitcher. Sometimes it is filthy, and sometimes it is not.
And I'm Tari J. Miller. You can find me at Tari J. That's TARIJAY. Bye.
Yeah. No, I'm just helping you. and you, hey guys, Zach Wilson. You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at ThatZachWilson, THATZACHWILSON. Be sure to check out my other show that I do on our sister network, The Popcorn Talk, Sci-Fi Weekly, where we talk about all kinds of ridiculous science fiction. This week we took a look at Event Horizon and asked if it still held up 20 years later. It's ridiculous. So join us there. Thank you once again for everybody for joining us for the Grimm After Show. Thanks for geeking out
with us.
Thanks for geeking out with us.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.